Okay. And to the director, Paul Finnegan. Paul, you are indeed very welcome to the program. You with us?
Yes, I am. How are you, Adrian?
I am fine, thank you indeed. The success of the New York Irish Centre is, you know, an almost unbelievable story. And whereas there are many to acknowledge with respect to the support and the blood, sweat, and tears, and the financial support of the New York Irish Centre, the buck stops with you, and I think a lot of people know that you run the New York Irish Centre in Long Island City in Queens. And the number of services that are provided there are simply incredible. So let's start by congratulating you and a tremendous staff and a great number of volunteers for making it all happen. Tell us
a bit
of the history, if you will, of the New York Irish Centre, and bring us back to the bricks and mortar and the acquisition of the place in the first place.
Well, we'd have to go back to you know, what we now call the turn of the century. Father Campbell would probably be in the main visionary behind the New York Irish Centre. Of course, Father Campbell has passed on now. May he rest in peace. He wanted a cultural community centre for the Irish in the city of New York that also was strong on social services. So it was really his idea to have a New York Irish Centre in the first place. And key allies in the early days were the likes of Paddy Riley of the Molly Wee Pub and many other establishments. Paddy, of course, has passed on as well. So really, what we call our two co-founders have moved on to their reward in the years intervening. The Breslins were very strong supporters. And it's really hard to start naming names now because there were so many strong supporters. But a building was acquired in a neighborhood just over the water from Manhattan. It's only, as I always say, one stop from Grand Central. It takes about 5 minutes on the number 7 train to reach us. It's remarkably easy, and people always find it a shock how easy it is when they do come to visit us for the first time from New York, from Manhattan. And, you know, it was a rundown building, and for the next 2 years, there was a lot of work done on the building, primarily by volunteers, contractors donating in-kind services and so on. The seniors, of course, very handy, would love to, you know, do paint, hang sheetrock and stuff like that. So in about 2005, although it was still a long way to go, the building was open for services. And at that point, then Father Campbell could secure, you know, donations and grants that went directly to services at that point. And Father Campbell himself, his other love in life was carpentry. And it wasn't not a very well-known thing about Father Campbell, but he was a great man for tinkering with things, computers and so on, but he loved to work with wood as well. So he actually was not shy to pick up a hammer as well in those early days. And these are all great stories now to look back on. But in 2005, the center got going, and, you know, as we all are, very, very old friends of Father Campbell and so on. So I stayed in touch with the early development of the centre. And then in 2009, the opportunity came up for me to step in. And Father Campbell was stepping back.
Yeah. You actually, you know, you were, you had served your time. Going way back to the early days of the IRM and the Emerald Island Migration Centre and along the way. Were you apprehensive, you know, in getting into that territory, or were you bullied by Father Campbell, like the rest of
us? No. I didn't. You know, it was an easy step for me to take the time. I it was just after the, you know, the Great Recession hit, and I had worked a number of years in the computer business, and you know, I just felt like, you know, I needed a change at the time, and you know, the computer business was a ruthless, cold business, and I just wanted to get involved with the community again, which I think is where my heart is. And then I met, you know, I met Sean Mackin for the first time, and he's the chairperson, and I got to know the Brezins, and I really felt there was a great team behind it, and they've been a great support to me ever since. You know, they've really, at times when it was beyond my control, they've been able to move the ball down the field, because they're, you know, they're very successful in the community, but they're also very, very keen to help the community, because they've never really forgotten where they started themselves. So, you know, it wasn't, I don't worry too much about things, you know, Adrian, you know, I kind of take a few, I've taken many leaps of faith in my life, and this was another one.
Yeah.
But I felt from the beginning that the people that truly are at the heart and soul of the success of the New York Irish Center were really solid people. And I think I've been, you know, right in that regard. And people don't really know that the New York Irish Center would probably not exist if it weren't for, you know, maybe five people. You know, all the rest was able to flourish because of the foundation, literally and figuratively, that was laid by a very small number of people who don't really look for the limelight. You know, so
yeah,
that's where I come from on that.
How do you get around, you know, the rumor that it's a great place for seniors if it's within walking distance, which is not true? You have been discovered. New York Irish Center has been discovered by a great number of people who are willing to travel.
Well, first of all, we are a great place for seniors within walking distance, but we're also conveniently located by the number 7 train. So a lot of our members do come from, you know, up and down the number 7 corridor in Queens. There's reasonable parking in the area. It's nowhere in New York City has great parking. There's so much, you know, Uber is so cheap now and so on and so forth. So we are very accessible. We're accessible in Queens and Manhattan, very accessible. And to your point about, you know, seniors within walking distance, a lot of the work we do is with seniors, but we have programs that cater to all ages and demographics.
Okay.
We have great children's programs.
Mm-hmm.
I just jump in and mention we started a new program in September, which is guitar lessons for teenagers and young adults, and that's on Monday nights. And we have a wonderful instructor, Sheena Mullen, a young lady who's a musician herself. So, you know, that's another thing we've added to the offerings recently. So when all is said and done, I mean, you know, there's such a range of services we provide that, you know, it's my job to see that message goes forth into the community, and this is why we're having this conversation. But, you know, at the end of the day, I always look at the Irish community in New York as a jungle, and it's a noisy place, and, you know, there's a lot of other groups that are doing wonderful work, so people do get confused between messages, and they can only absorb so much. So it's just an ongoing job of work, basically, to market what we do as best we can.
It's also, though, and I don't hesitate to say this, it is a kind of a singular venue, which makes it very easy for, you know, as you mentioned there, a great cross-section of volunteers, of those who, in fact, would like to get involved. And, you know, this is supposed to be complimentary, but you do have a number of clicks of people who come in and, you know, plow their own furrow, or to the, you know, again, you know, that is the New York Irish Center in Queens. On a topic, indeed almost as difficult to address as our first story of the morning with Dan Barry, the longtime journalist with the New York Times, who got a lead story in the New York Times last Sunday talking about the lost children of Chum and the religious orders who, in fact, are now much maligned for the disposition of the, you know, the body and the remains of those who died under their care. We are very reluctant as an ethnic group to acknowledge what has become, I won't say an epidemic, but what has been more than a statistically a you know, a great number of troubled people of all ages, some of whom wind up indeed because of lack of support primarily, and some of them would, somebody would take issue with that. Suicide rate for Irish and for that matter Irish Americans is something that was a task that was so mammoth that nobody could handle it, which brings us to one of your services and indeed one of your partners. Again, some might be familiar with Pieta House in Ireland, but maybe you can fill us in a little bit on that aspect of it, and you know, suicide and mental health. We could add to that, indeed, the crisis intervention, confidential crisis intervention, counseling services, which is housed at the New York Irish Centre.
Certainly. You know, I'll just sort of, you know, give it a frame of reference. You know, our building, you know, as you say, it's got an amazing array of things it offers the community, but at its core, what it offers the community is a space. For example, tonight we have a fundraiser for the Mercy Foundation, which is to aid children in distress in Bangkok, and Donny Carroll, of course, is the main person behind that. He'd be with Mick Maloney tonight. So there's just any number of things we offer the community by just providing space. So if I just turn back the clock about 3 years, we had finished a major renovation, and I decided now we can start focusing on more of our mission rather than being builders. And I looked to what the needs were in the community, and I asked the right people, including a member of my staff, Rebecca, and I kept getting the answer that suicide was an issue, self-harm and suicide, both in Ireland, where, you know, it's, as you say, it's not an epidemic, but it's off the charts in terms of, you know, per capita proportionality of it being an issue in Ireland, and that has migrated over to our communities here in the United States also. You know, and it's not the whole, not even to the extent of suicide ideation, but
right,
depression and lack of hope, you know, the visa, the green card situation, of course, is very much a part of the problem there. So we decided we would look to Ireland to see what the best practices were, and it wasn't long before we discovered that Pieta House were doing things better than anyone else in Ireland. And Rebecca put out some feelers to Ireland, and John Freeman was very receptive to talking to us. And within a very short period of time, Joan, of course, is the founder of Pieta House in Ireland. Everything they do there is basically her came from her in terms of how they do things. They have sanctuary houses throughout Ireland. They have a methodology to intervention which has been proven to be very effective and is somehow somewhat unique. So, she was open to starting a pilot program here in the United States, and the New York Irish Center was ideally positioned because it had it was, as I say, both infrastructurally ready in that we had the space and the rooms to offer, and organizationally ready in that we were at a time when we were looking to do more of the care part of the three words that inform us: community, culture, care. And so that's how it started, and that was so by the summer of 2015, the pilot program had begun, and 2 years later now, since then, of course, Joan, as founder of Pieta House, has stepped away from Pieta House, and that's a natural progression for founders and organizations that become so big and successful that the whole dynamic changes. So it's been passed over to a CEO there now, a new CEO. Joan gets up in the morning and her desire is to try to solve this problem worldwide, because she has a very, like many people in our community, very, very personally impacted by the problem, in that her sister took her own life before Joan, you know, got started on this mission in Ireland about, I guess, over a decade ago. So that's what inspires and motivates Joan, and that's why she wants to keep doing the work she's doing. So she's, because now the connection between her and Pieta is not there to the same extent, she's renamed the service in New York as Solace House, and we launched it Wednesday afternoon in the New York Irish Center, and we were visited by a TD from Doyle Éireann, Catherine Zappone, who's the Minister for Children and Youth Affairs over there. So she helped us launch, she helped Joan and Solace House launch at our venue on Wednesday. So, but you know what it is? It's not a brand new service. It's been growing successfully for the last 2 years, and it's a very confidential, private, privacy is extremely crucial to the entire provision of the service. But as an independent observer in the building, I see more and more more and more people coming to use the service. So I think they've done an extraordinary job. You know, starting something is never easy. As I always say, doing good things in the world is never easy. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. And I think Joan has done a remarkable job into coming to the United States and starting a service for the Irish community here in this country. And when you think of that, like, you know, she's not the kind of Irish person that was here all the time. She's had to get to know the way the United States culture, and that, you know, that can be baffling to people from Ireland sometimes, because it's such a different culture without the same safety nets, a different sense of entitlement, all kinds of things are different. She's a quick study, as they say. And, in 2 years, I think she's really helped put a very solid, good thing on the map. And we're fortunate enough to be partners with her in this process.
My guest, Paul Finnegan, director of the New York Irish Center in Long Island, Long Island City in Queens. That is... give in Queens again, one stop from Grand Central. Give us your phone number and Paul, your website.
Absolutely, Adrian. The phone number is 718-482-0909. The website is newyorkirishcenter.org. All four words are spelled out, newyorkirishcenter.org. And center is spelled the American way, C-E-N-T-E-R. And I hope that if anybody has nothing to do tonight, they can drop into us. We have a fabulous concert of music tonight with Tony Carroll and friends, Mick Maloney, in support of the Mercy Center Foundation over in the Far East, as we used to call it.
Yeah.
Which is it's a real game changer for children who've been subject to horrific circumstance that we wouldn't wish upon anyone. And I think following the news of the further news of the issue in Tuam, we should all be very sensitive to that. So hopefully you guys can come along, whoever is out there and available to come tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yes, the 7 o'clock, nice and early as well. Paul, I think perhaps it is worth listening to the remarks at the opening of, you know, of Solace House at the New York Irish Centre, to listen to her remarks in your place. Dr. Catherine Zaffone, Irish Government Minister for Children and Youth Affairs. Again, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
I feel at home here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do. And I was just thinking, with that feeling of remembering that my mother's people actually came from Cavan and Meath and landed in New York a few generations ago. And I was one thinking too that I don't think there were any centers like this for the Irish then, and it's a pity that that was not the case, with already the sense of great welcome and support that I feel here. And it's no wonder then that you developed a partnership with whom I would call my independent colleague in the houses of the Oireachtas Center, John Freeman. And so I'm absolutely delighted to be with you here today. Yes, you're all Irish, are you? to witness a little bit about what you're doing here and to feel the hospitality and the sense of welcome. The establishment of Solace House, I think, is a really important development in meeting the needs of the Irish in New York. And we've certainly seen what Peada House has achieved in Ireland. And on the basis of that record, I think that we can be confident that Solace House will fill a great unmet need here in New York. It's, of course, I think, as most of you are aware, it's a free-of-charge crisis intervention counseling service for those self-harming. It will be a lifeline. And it's really only through the work of courageous and determined women like Senator Freeman, I bet there are a few of you out there as well here in the room, and men, that we're slowly beginning to destigmatize particularly suicide, both in Ireland and then here in New York. I really believe that the work of Senator Freeman has made a significant difference to the ways in which we offer support for those who are challenged with those concerns, and the sense of deep desperation and darkness that many people, particularly young people now, are experiencing. You know, Joan, again, many of you, I'm sure, are aware, founded Peada House because of her own family experience of the tragedy of suicide. Her response was courageous and determined. She demonstrated sheer doggedness to start Peada House, and she stuck with it. Look at the fruits of that here as we gather today. Senator Freeman has saved lives, more lives than we will ever know. She's saved families by helping mothers and fathers and daughters and sons and sisters and brothers to find solace. Isn't that a beautiful word? Like, just even as I say it, the feeling that develops within me of consolation and of the, which is provides certainly the beginnings maybe of a motivation to start again. And for those then, in the context both of Peada House and then your work here, to experience happiness again. It's through this that, you know, Joan started the conversation in Ireland about mental health. And we have a growing number of advocates in relation to mental health in Ireland, and we have well-known people prepared to speak publicly about their own mental health challenges, and that of course captures the Irish imagination, and it makes it okay to talk about it. if they can talk about it. And Joan and Pieta House in Ireland really have helped to make it okay not to feel okay. And you created, as you've already referred to, and again, many of you are aware, that flagship event of Darkness into Light, which has become a hugely significant annual event in the lives of many people. Walking together as the dawn breaks. That's one of the most powerful symbols of hope and acceptance. And we still have a long journey to go, but I would say that we are on our way. And of course, now Joan intends to focus her efforts on growing Solace House for the Irish diaspora here in New York. Because you'll be leaving Pieta House at the end of in Dublin at the end of this year. So, may I say, our loss is your gain. As a minister of the Irish government, I can say that we are truly grateful that Senator Freeman is continuing this much-needed work to benefit our people. You are people here in New York. And happily, though, Senator Freeman will continue her work as an independent member of the Irish Senate. And boy, she's powerful as she does that work. She's been making waves since she arrived over a year ago. She has hosted the first-ever public consultation committee in the Irish Senate, which was on children's mental health. I had the great privilege to, as a minister, go into the public gallery in the Shannon and to listen and to hear those who, groups and individuals who came and gave testimony to provide evidence of the importance of that and what we need to grow in Ireland as well, and also to witness Senator Freeman direct that with your great leadership. As another independent, I am also an independent. I continue to admire and support your work and the work particularly that you're doing to reform mental health services. And you've recently been elected chair of our new Houses of the Oireachtas or Parliament Committee on the Future of Mental Health. So as minister, or as you would say here, secretary with responsibility for children and young people, I look forward to continuing to make Ireland a better place for our children and young people, but for those who are present, who are supporting this wonderful venture, and Paul mentioned some of you, no doubt all of you who are here, I greatly admire how you continue to help your kin. It's what the Irish do best, isn't it? So I know Solace House grows. As it grows and expands, you will be there, and thank you for your commitment. The mental health and well-being for our immigrants, it was highlighted as a serious, pressing issue during the consultation process for the government's diaspora policy review, and also in the 2015 UCD Clinton Institute report on the immigrant support program. So the government then, through the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade Immigrant Support Program, responded to those concerns with support of over $100,000 to the Pieta House pilot program here in New York. And of course, the program has been proven to be such a valuable resource for those who are in need of such care and support and advice. And it's wonderful for me to be here as a member of the Irish government to feel that and to witness that. And I shall bring this back to my colleagues when I return to Dublin Friday morning, early in the morning. But I know that Senator Freeman and Pieta House also work closely with Consul General here, Karen Madden, who it's been a great pleasure to get to know and to meet, and our short trip has been just so fantastic in facilitating our visits with many, many people. He's a great Irishman, that's what I'd say so far, having known him just a few days. So you're lucky to have him here, and providing support for members of our community, of course, and in this context, who are facing some of the most difficult challenges in their lives. And the funding has also enabled Pieta House to partner with the three main Irish centers in New York, the Ashland Center, the New York Irish Center here, and the Emerald Isle Immigration Center. So there's a Pieta room? Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Which must be marvelous and wonderful. So what I want to conclude by saying congratulations to Senator Freeman and to Paul and all the work that's going on here, a deep gratitude to all of you who are contributing to this work, And I know that, no doubt, that it will, and you will, enable many more to walk from darkness into light. Thank you.
As far as I know, that concludes the speaking part of the program. I just want to acknowledge that Anya Sheridan is here, and Anya would be classified as the long-suffering wife of a guy called Adrian Flannelly, who's a wonderful, wonderful radio broadcaster and wonderful person and friend of mine in our community. I just want to also mention that, I just want to welcome you here also again, Kieran Madden. Are you getting up to say a few words? Okay. So I just want to welcome.
Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome. It's great to have you here. And, you know, just to reinforce what the Minister said about the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade ESP support, the New York Irish Centre itself has thrived under it, so we'd like to acknowledge that here today. So I believe that some of us will go for a little walk up to the solace rooms, and we can take our state-of-the-art elevator to get there, which of course was heavily supported also by the government of Dublin. So for those of you who are not coming on our little journey, I can take you up there any time you want, but just to keep the crowd down, there's lots of good wine and good food for your trouble for coming out today, and thank you for your continued support. There are members of the staff at Pieta House here today, therapists and everything, so get to know us a little better, okay? All right, so thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.